Day in the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I'm here today because PACE is being put on the back burner. Most of you will probably be going to the heavens above before we even get a shovel in the ground in Santa Rosa County on infrastructure.
I'm going to ask you today to please consider moving the priorities up for the widening of Highway 90.
I do want to also reiterate that it's time that we let the voices of the Milton City be heard. Stop going past the Highway 90 expansion and accept the fact that we need it done. We need to move it up on the pecking order, get it passed. Let's get some funding for it. Let's get it moving forward.
So the TPO meeting, the Transportation Planning Organization meeting last week, was far more interesting than I expected. I think we had all seen the kind of the headline out of there that they moved the priority for Highway 90 up from 7. This is the widening over the Blackwater River. This is the bridge, okay, expanding to 4 lanes through town so that you don't have the congestion problems that you have now, which is a public safety hazard, school buses, ambulances, ordinary traffic. And because there's more construction all the time in East Milton, which is east of there, then, you know, that's more traffic trying to go across through to PACE to there. And, you know, this problem is not getting worse, getting better. It's getting worse, like Pensacola Beach. Anyway, this is Larry McKee, Cindy Smith, and Marilyn Farrow, two city council members and a, you know, associate member of the Pitchfork Posse, all show up at the TPO to lay the groundwork, you know, public sentiment. We're upset. So that Heather Lindsay, the mayor, who is also on that board, if you're not familiar with it, is made up of all five commissioners in Escambia and Santa Rosa County, two members of Pensacola City Council, one delegate from Milton, one from Century, one from Baldwin County, I think two from Pensacola City, if I didn't mention that. I think Gulf Breeze, is, yeah, the mayor, Schluter, is also on that board. And so it's a big board, but they figure out what are the priorities, and then they recommend to FDOT, and then FDOT does what they're going to do. So in order to understand this priority list, you have to understand that it's only the top three that really are the work, and then four through everything, which is there's like 30 or 40 things on this list. There's all kinds of stuff on that list that is years away if it's ever going to happen, like the connector that's going to turn Creighton into Burgess Road and build that all the way out to Highway 29 is like, I mean, number 17 on the list. It's never going to happen. Okay, it's, you know, way down the list. So lots of things are on this list that are really just, you know, dream projects, wish projects. Everything that is in the top three is worked on actively, and everything that is like 4 to 7 or 8 or 9 is like, man, we really want it, but we just can't afford it. Okay, so Heather Lindsay, the mayor of Milton, in an election year, do not neglect that point, shows up, and she's eager to make a recommendation. And her recommendation is to move the Highway 90 widening from 7 up to 5. And in trade, she's going to allow Sorrento to go from 5 to 4. And then she's going to says, let's move down the 9-mile project and the Highway 29 connector. And Stephen Berry, the commissioner in District 5 and the chair, that's also going to be important. He says, I mean, okay, cool. You know, I don't, the connector is not that big of a deal. Plus everything below 4 isn't funded anyway. So it's sort of argument about nothing. Meanwhile, Carrie Smith, who also up for re-election, County Commissioner District 2 in Santa Rosa County. That's his district, East Milton. And he's like, man, I've been working on this for 4 years, and you're going to come right in here and present your plan, which he had been intending to present a modification also. And he didn't say it that way. I'm inferring, you know, kind of like, where y'all been? Weren't you the mayor when they moved it down the priority list a few years ago? Because your previous board didn't like the Highway 90 expansion project, and they thought they could preserve the quaintness of Milton by not expanding it to 4 lanes. And, well, we see how that has gone. Okay, so Carrie Smith saying, you know, I think what we should do, let's move it up to number 5. Or, sorry, move it up to number 4, not 5. Let's go 4.
This is a primary concern for Santa Rosa County, because of the fact that when you do have any, and you have all of the economic development that is going on in the east part of Milton, we haven't seen anything yet as far as the traffic woes that mm-hmm. are coming. And my discussions with FDOT, they understand these things. And
every house is 2 cars, and there's lots of houses going up. Every business is however many, and there's lots of businesses going up. And that one vital connector between those two across that Blackwater River is that bridge Or else I-10, you know, right? John, you live there, right? That's it.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
You're very correct.
So that's the problem. So Stephen Berry, who is the chair of the TPO, kind of asks the other Santa Rosa commissioners who are present. Everybody but Colton Wright was there. Colton was in D.C. working on military stuff. His own commissioners were not there. None of them were there except for him. So Lumen, May, Steve Stroberger, Mike Kohler, and Ashley Hoffberger were all not there for various reasons. But, you know, Stephen's all alone, and it's a Santa Rosa County project. So he's like, well, I mean, what do the other Santa Rosa people think about this? And remember, keep in mind, they barely caught quorum. They had to basically beg DeLaron Wiggins to come in and be there during a meeting he was supposed to be at anyway. You know, come be at this meeting because we don't have a quorum. We can't do anything. He came, made quorum, so they're working.
What about our other friends from Santa Rosa County? Y'all concur with Commissioner Smith?
It's a fair question.
Commissioner Burkett, Eddington, y'all concur?
Brett Rowell also.
Okay.
And they're all on board. Of course they're on board. This is an obvious improvement for Santa Rosa County.
Okay. I mean, as I guess as the representative for our board, you know, I'm okay with that. If you want to make that amendment, Mayor.
So okay. If I'm interpreting correctly, you're asking for a friendly amendment to make Highway 90 number 4 and Sorrento Road number 5.
And that's exactly what he's saying. Because she, as the first proposer, it's her amendment. It's her proposal to be amended or not by Carrie Smith to make it even better for Santa Rosa County. And she should be thrilled. She should be thrilled. What was her reaction? We'll tell you in a second. John Pickens, traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you. Seeing some minor delays on Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road. And that's about it. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
So Mayor Lindsay, who's pushing to improve the Highway 90 priority, she should be super thrilled because Carrie Smith just got it to 4. And he's been working on this for years to get it from 13 to 7 where it is now. She comes in and tries to get it to 5, but he was going to already do that and get it to 4, and he's got it to 4. She should be thrilled. Woohoo! We're all on the same team.
Based on the feedback that I'm hearing about safety measures that are likely going to take effect and improve the public safety situation on Sorrento Road, I can respect that. Okay. I don't know if I still have a second.
Second. Okay.
You heard the second in the background. I couldn't catch whose voice it was. Well, I guess... I mean, fine. I guess it's really kind of Carrie's going to get the credit for this and not me. I guess fine, whatever, an election year. I mean, I got all these people to come. I don't know this. I'm inferring. They're all her friends. So, and it is not a sunshine violation for her to encourage fellow members of the Milton City Council to go to the TPO since they're not on the TPO and since it's not a voting issue in front of the City Council. So the explanation of the actual thing that was being done, basically, Highway 90 moves from 7 to 4, Sorrento Road stays at 5, 9 Mile moves down from 6 to 7, and Highway 29, that connector, moves from 4 down to 6. And Stephen Berry says, okay, cool. So they do a roll call vote, and everybody's on board. So Bobby Burkett, Ray Eddington, Rhett Rowell, Mayor Lindsay, Mayor Schluter, Stephen Berry, Councilwoman Patton, Councilman Bear. Let's see, Carrie Smith and then DeLaron Wiggins. Everybody's on board. Everybody's on board. You say, okay, cool. So here's my read, though. I don't exactly understand who the alliances are right now. Here's why. I think my suspicion is that Heather Lindsay was not happy that Carrie Smith did what she was trying to do better than she did. And the only reason she's even in this conversation is because she jumped in early to say it. When he had been working on this for years. He's a guy who's always going over to the offices for Chipley. He's always going over to Chipley with the Milton Bakery and trying to, you know, persuade people gently. Pay attention to us, you know, in Santa Rosa County. So he's been working on this for a long time. So that's part one. part two, I don't know why exactly there was this effort to rob Carrie of the chance to do this, which is what it looks like to me. Because Jeff Snow is running against him, and Jeff Snow and Mayor Lindsay are definitely not allies in any world. So Jeff Snow is running for County Commission District 2. Mayor Lindsay is up for re-election. I have a theory that maybe somebody's going to run against her that I don't know. I'm just speculating, and I'm not going to tell you a name, but I think that's not going to be easy for her to win. But at the moment, I'll wait on that. But here's where this all became even more interesting to me. They go through all the Pensacola Beach traffic stuff. They go through all the Navarre Beach traffic stuff. And then at the very end, there's just the minor matter of reorganizing the board and figure out who's going to be the chair and the vice chair and all that for next year. So Stephen Berry, who's the current chair.
Next is going to be enclosure M. nomination election of the TPO board, TCC, and CAC chair.
All right. Tiffany Bates, who I think this is Tiffany Bates, is going to just kind of explain the rules. There's no term limits and that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And you can repeat as chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. According to the TPO's bylaws, we are required to hold annual elections for the position of chair and vice chair. Officers serve a one-year term, but there are no limits as to how long that term may continue to go on if elected every annual cycle.
And so you can make Stephen Barry the chair again, but the norm would be to let the vice chair, who is John, you want to take a guess at this? Who's the vice chair? Who just worked for several years to get it moved up the list. Who's running in District 2? Kerry Smith.
Yeah.
Kerry Smith's the vice chair. So who's the most natural person to be the next chair?
Kerry Smith.
And Kerry Smith is a Santa Rosa County commissioner. So you would think that the Santa Rosa County people would like having Kerry Smith, a Santa Rosa, not necessarily, if they're going to spend the first half of this meeting complaining about how Santa Rosa never gets any money and Escambia always gets all the love and the fat and whatever, you know, well, why don't you make somebody from Santa Rosa? So here we go. Anybody want to nominate?
Board, any type of feedback, any nominations or ideas for keeping the slate, any comments?
I nominate you to continue as chair, Mr. Barry.
All right. Would that include the full slate with the TCC chair, this everyone in place?
So Mayor Lindsay, the mayor of Milton, did not nominate the vice chair, Kerry Smith, to be the chair. The chair doesn't have a tremendous amount of power, but the chair does have power. Okay. And instead nominate somebody from Escambia County, Stephen Barry, the current chair. Why on God's green earth would a Santa Rosa County politician go around the normal process of having the current vice chair, who is from her county and therefore capable of massaging the priorities and the agenda in favor of Santa Rosa County? Why would a Santa Rosa County politician deliberately go around that in order to make an Escambia County politician the chair of the meeting? Are you high? Or do you have malice? I don't know which it is, but it's weird. So then you have, again, four county commissioners in Santa Rosa County, any of which could pitch a fit. Bobby Burkett, Ray Addington, Rhett Rowell. But instead of pitching a fit, as I understand it, and I hope I'm not wrong about this, but I believe Bobby Burkett was the second. So one Santa Rosa County commissioner seconded the move to push Kerry Smith aside and stick with an Escambia County commissioner to chair this very important board.
I'm glad if y'all are good with that. That's very kind of you. I'm humbled to be able to serve. And like I said, it is a very healthy relationship between the municipal bodies that make up the board, as well as our FDOT folks and certainly the ECRC staff. And I'm happy to do so. If there's no other comments, I'd entertain them. We have a motion. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none. Thank you. Thank you again.
Kerry Smith must have been losing his mind.
Why didn't he speak up?
I don't know. Why? I don't know why Ray Addington didn't speak up. I don't know why Rhett Rowell didn't speak up. I don't know why Bobby Burkett seconded this insane move. And I frankly can't even quite understand why Heather Lindsay would second it because wouldn't you obviously rather have a Santa Rosa County commissioner leading this, except that it's during an election year? And I don't know if she was angry at him for trumping her move to fifth. I don't know if there's some weird political game that I do not grasp, because she's certainly no ally of Jeff Snow, who is the biggest challenger to Kerry Smith for the commission seat. I don't know. But why would you voluntarily? This would be like Florida and Georgia going to Congress, and, you know, the chances for the Florida congressman to be the speaker, and the Florida, like, suggests, no, I think the Georgia person instead. And all the Florida people are like, yeah, Georgia. Like, it doesn't make any sense. If you can see a way that it makes sense, please tell me. So you're left with, since nothing obvious, rational makes sense, you assume it must be political or personal or both. So happy days. John, you live in Milton. This is your stuff. I mean, it's not just my stuff. It's your stuff.
Like I said, why didn't he speak up?
I don't know.
Or any of them.
I mean, it it sounds, I don't know. You know, it sounds crazy. And my suspicion is for Kerry, at this point, he's like, I probably can't win. I'm just going to look like a jerk. You know, it would have been nice if one of my fellow commissioners had stood up on my behalf and said, you know, we got an alternate suggestion. Since we have the numbers in a meeting that barely made quorum, you remember earlier when I was telling you, or at the 5 o'clock hour, I was telling you that this meeting barely made quorum, and the fact that it made quorum with who was there and who was not there, right? If Colton Wright had been there, I guarantee he would have said something. Of course, also, you know, the Escambia County commissioners might have said something too, but, you know, it's just the natural progress is for Kerry to have been it, and that got thwarted at the suggestion of a Santa Rosa County politician, Mayor Heather Lindsay of Milton. You interpret how you will. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
All right.
Wait. Well, we got to finish off.
Close it.
We got to finish strong. What do we know about the city of Milton? Wherever they go, they bring the portable drama. All right, it's John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on I-10 eastbound right around Highway 29, starting to see just some minor backups there, not really too much, about a five-minute delay. And Highway 29 southbound headed toward Nine Mile Road, experiencing about a six-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you need a roof, or you think you need a roof, or you're kind of curious what would be involved in getting a new roof, or just a repair, Quality Roofing Solutions. Brian Ward started this company in 2006, 20 years ago. Now 10,000 roofs later and a 4.9 rating on Google, which really... that's all you need to know. A 4.9 and 10,000 roofs, that's amazing. But they're just devoted to the local community. They invest in, you know, our gateway, local youth sports, financial literacy education. They want to make sure that, you know, people are growing and learning and developing. But they also want to make sure they do what they say they're going to do for a reasonable price and be good at customer service. Kind of like all the things that construction folks are known, typically have a reputation for not being, they want to be the opposite. For example, they do a lifetime workmanship warranty on all the roofs. Who does that? Well, they do. Because they stand behind it. And they'll call you back and they'll talk to you like a person, and they're not going to pretend you know everything, and they're not going to pretend you're stupid for not knowing everything. They're just going to be there for you. I had a good friend just did a roof. She used them. She said they weren't the most expensive, for sure. They weren't the cheapest, but they were good, and they did what they said they were going to do, and I got a very good value for what I paid for, which is what you want. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
God is love. Those simple yet inspiring words were penned by John the Apostle. John had firsthand knowledge of the love of God. It is John who is recorded in Scripture as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It is John who wrote that we love God because he first loved us. It was John who wrote Jesus' words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then John is recorded as being a witness to this greater love in which Jesus willingly laid his life down on the cross to die a substitutionary death, which offers salvation to the world. There is no greater love than sacrificial love. God is love.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Daniel will not stop crying. I changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Don't forget his profile, Ed.
Turn to the right.
7:29, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. An Ebola outbreak in Central Africa is spreading quickly. Officials in Congo now reporting at least 131 deaths and more than 500 suspected cases. Health officials say the outbreak is especially difficult because this particular strain of Ebola has no approved vaccine or treatment.
And this, they got an American doctor, I think, that got moved to Germany after he caught it while he was there working right with locals. Yeah.
And cases also reported in Uganda and in Congo's capital city, Kinshasa. A New York judge ruling that a gun and notebook described as a manifesto can be used as evidence in the Luigi Mangione murder trial. Mangione, of course, accused of shooting Brian Thompson outside of a hotel in Manhattan. The judge rejected arguments that the items were seized illegally, but some items were ruled out of the trial, including a cell phone, passport, and wallet due to an improper search.
All right. 7 o'clock tonight, bands on the beach out at the Gulfside Pavilion. 7 p.m., Christy D. and Bad Juju are going to be performing. It's always a good time. Sheriff Simmons joins us coming up next. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papagolf. Allies of the U.S. asking President Trump to hold off on more strikes in Iran for now.
President Trump says serious negotiations are now taking place. In fact, Qatar's foreign ministry spokesperson just said that communication is ongoing between leaders in the region and with, quote, conflict parties to prevent a return to escalation.
Fox's Jeff Paul in Dubai. The investigation ongoing in San Diego. Authorities have not released a possible motive for two teenagers who shot three people dead at a mosque. San Diego Police Chief Scott Wall calls one of the victims a hero.
We do believe the security guard was able to help at least minimize this situation.
The teens later took their own lives. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got cloudy skies. It is 73 degrees, and we'll get a look at our forecast in just a few minutes. Brooke Richardson at Channel 3 has that for us. Nonprofits funded by the Escambia Children's Trust are pushing back against a proposal that could put that program's future on the November ballot. Commissioner Mike Kohler wants voters to weigh in again on whether to continue funding the trust through property taxes. One of the organizations that depends on that funding says their results really speak for themselves.
The Escambia Children's Trust gave us a lot of viability in the community. It has helped us a lot of things that we couldn't do with the girls.
That is Centoria Spencer, the founder of SALT, the Sisters Anointed to Lead Together. And she told Channel 3 that the trust helps to fund their summer camps and other programs as well. Her program, she says, has expanded from a monthly program to now meeting with her girls weekly for 9 months a year. The trust funds programs aimed at keeping kids engaged and off of the streets during after school hours. Well, the Gulf Coast Culture Fest is headed back to downtown Pensacola this month, the free outdoor festival. Will run from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. May 30th at Seville Square. There's music, art, dance, food trucks, cultural performances, and the evening wraps up with a film showcase, which highlights filmmakers from across the Gulf Coast. Pensacola Beach had its busiest day ever on Saturday. Escambia County says 27,690 vehicles passed through the Bob Sykes Toll Plaza on Saturday, topping the previous record of 27,674, which was set back in June, last June. And the milestone comes as the lane closures do remain in effect there on Pensacola Beach Boulevard as work continues on the Gateway Improvements Project. A Northwest Florida Homeless Services organization is taking a new approach to reaching people living on the streets in Santa Rosa County. Opening Doors Northwest Florida is launching an e-bike outreach program using e-bikes to connect with homeless individuals living in remote areas along the Blackwater Heritage State Trail and surrounding areas. Officials say that it can take up to 10 interactions before somebody is willing to accept services, and the bikes allow their outreach teams to cover more ground more consistently. The University of Florida is a little bit closer to getting a new president. The school's presidential search advisory committee announcing yesterday that it is unanimously recommending Dr. Stuart Bell for the job. He was the president at the University of Alabama for a decade. The search committee says he played a critical role in elevating the University of Alabama's national rankings. Committee Chair Rahul Patel says that Bell possesses all of the qualities that would make him a perfect fit for the University of Florida, including strong academic credentials and a proven track record of athletic success. UF Board of Trustees Chair Maury Hosseini says that he would fully support that recommendation, calls him an obvious choice. It's 7:35 at News Radio. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. No accidents to report to you right now. Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile, experiencing about a 7-minute delay. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, 6-minute delay there. And 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, about an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
We are going to be seeing another warm day out there. Temperatures going to be warming up near 85 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 71. For Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, 20% chance of rain, high near 86. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Heading into Thursday, 20% chance of rain, high near 85 degrees. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 72 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, partly cloudy skies, 73 degrees, your next news in 30 minutes, and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Sweden said it will order 4 Navy warships from France in a $4 billion deal that will see its air defense capacity triple. Officials say it is the Nordic country's biggest defense investment since the 1980s. Intel CEO Lip-Bu Tan said on CNBC the company's external manufacturing business is gaining traction, emerging as a key piece of the chipmaker's turnaround. Intel's manufacturing business, known as Foundry, is of the most expensive and crucial parts of the company's revitalization strategy. The Trump administration said it is adding roughly 600 generic medications to its direct-to-consumer drug sales website, TrumpRx. The platform, which launched in February, is key to his administration's efforts to lower prescription drug costs in the U.S. Futures are slightly lower as chip stocks continue to decline and as investors monitor the Iran war. Dow futures down by more than 100 points. NASDAQ futures down by more than 200 points. That's Your Money Now.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
At FPL, our teams are working every day, inspecting, upgrading, and strengthening the grid, installing smart sensors that spot problems before they become outages, keeping your lights on, your devices charged, your world running. You may not see us, but our work never stops. Behind every switch that powers on, every moment that just works. Because reliability isn't an option, it's a commitment. FPL, working for you every single day. Learn more at fpl.com/value.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
No opinions, no arguing. Just the news, right now.
Right now.
Florida State Legislature passing a new congressional map. Cordell Scott's on News Radio 92.3.
Hours after Florida State House voted 83 to 28 along party lines to approve a new congressional map, the state Senate did the same.
Record the vote.
21 yeas, 17 nays, Mr. President.
So the bill passes.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
All right, we have breaking news here. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Chip Simmons is in the studio, and I don't know if it's the first time, but I'm going to go ahead and call it the first time because, you know, we're local, dependable, reliable, informative. Yeah, right, obviously. By the way, welcome to the show. Good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So, no high-profile incidents last week?
No. I was out of town
Sweet.
For a couple of days in Washington, D.C.
So, you're the source of the trouble. When you're here, bad things happen. When you're gone.
Yeah, I thought you were reliable and dependable and all that. Whatever. I think I missed one of those that y'all are. Honest is probably the one I missed.
Yeah, that's... We'll always miss that one. Anyway, yeah, okay. So you were out of town. You're at the memorial in D.C.
Yes, we
national
of course, memorial. We had to add Jeremy Cassidy's name to the national memorial. So a couple of us went up to Washington, D.C. Last Wednesday and got back on Saturday. And a pretty moving service, actually. They call out the names of every law enforcement officer in the United States that lost their life during 2025. Vice President J.D. Vance was the speaker.
Oh, okay.
And it was a really good, nice event. It took place at the Capitol, the lawn right there in front of the Capitol. And that's, if you haven't been there, it's a majestic scene.
It's
obviously a huge building, very symbolic, and it's nice to have it there. It's good to be back. It's always good to be back. In
always good to have you back. So we'll celebrate. I'll celebrate a week where very little news-ish kinds of things happen. But you do have some stuff coming up. For example, tonight is Female Blazer Academy. Is that right?
Yeah, female graduation.
Oh, nice.
Tonight at Sanger Theater, 6 o'clock. It is open if you're heading downtown, if you're walking down the sidewalk and you can't get down the roadway yet. But if you're walking
close.
Down there, slip into Sanger Theater, kind of take a look at pretty much the future of not just Escambia County, but this country, these Blazer Academies, award-winning Blazer Academies. This one is the Female Blazer Academy. Earlier, we had the Male Blazer Academy. It's just nice to be able to get to know some of our future leaders, really. And we'll have a graduation, then we'll have a nice meal across the street. And it's always a good thing for us.
Teaching them soft skills, how to plan, how to conduct an interview, just how to be people and get some of the things that maybe they didn't, you know, don't necessarily get all the time. And, you know, doing it from the police, so, you know, voice of authority and building relationships with the police, those are always good things, right?
Relationships, there's that, you know, confidence building, there's that cautionary tale, that unique perspective that a law enforcement mm-hmm. agency would have. And, again, we only have for 6 weeks, but you really get to know them. You see some of that growth and some of that confidence, and you hope that they take just a little bit of that in the future. One day... You know, my hope is that they'll think about a situation. You know what? We went over this
mm-hmm.
at the Blazer Academy, and or it's something that I'm familiar with because I've done it one time before. Second time is always easier than the first
time,
right?
Right.
So that how many, our hope is that.
How many girls?
I think it was like 20 girls in this particular class.
Yeah, this program, by the way, to me is like a quintessentially starfish program. You know, the guy walking along the beach, all the starfish are up on the beach dying, and, you know, and he throws one back in, and somebody says, why would you do that? And he says, I made a difference for that one, you know, kind of thing. One. And that's the point, you know, 20, 20, 20, that adds up. And it's just, you know.
It's butterfly effect or chaos theory, absolutely. Whatever you want to call it. If you do something great today or one little thing today, and if one thing sticks, then it could make a difference for generations to come.
Graduations are coming up. You're going to have a handful of things going on at the Bay Center, but it's not so much the Bay Center as the weekend and the nights after, right?
Yeah, you know, recently we've had this, you know, take over this lot or that lot, or they've had this online type invitations, and so we're certainly keeping an eye on that. And now we have our graduation. So I think we're going to have 4 high schools graduating one day and then 4 the next day. And so we're going to have some meetings coming up just to make sure we're prepared for that. Mainly Pensacola Beach. Yeah. But we want to make sure we have the personnel, and we want to just make sure people know and understand where your kids are and where they're going to be going on graduation week. You don't want to ruin your life on what could be the biggest day of their life.
Do you have problems here historically with graduation weekends and or prom weekends is the other one I would think of as maybe being an issue?
We're aware of the prom. Sometimes they're different dates, but because of graduate, like we have four local high schools all going somewhere. You know, I'm not saying they're all going to the beach because certainly they're not.
They can't get there. The road's closed and under construction and too much traffic. Yeah.
You know, if I know that if I was a high school, I'd say, I'm not sure if I want to wait in line for 3 hours trying to get to a no parking area.
Right.
You know, that's not fun. We just want to make sure that we're prepared for wherever in Escambia County they may want to go, and really just remind people that, you know, remind parents, ask your kids where they're planning on going. I know my parents were very aware of where I said I was going.
Yeah. And would ask questions and make phone calls.
Exactly.
And fact check, you know, and do
we
character
didn't have
references.
Phones, yeah. Cell phones back then, but they sure seemed to know
what was going on. I agree. We're talking to Chip Simmons, our sheriff in Escambia County. Hang on for just a second, Sheriff. John Pickens, traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you still, but if you're on 98 westbound headed toward Gulf Breeze, you're going to experience about an 8-minute delay. And let's see here. I-10 westbound as you approach the 9 Mile Road exit, experiencing about a 5-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Sheriff Chip Simmons. You were talking about, you know, things going on at the beach and parents knowing where their kids are and, you know, keeping up on them and all that kind of stuff. I mentioned traffic as a side note. Does the traffic to the beach that has become a real problem in the last couple of years? I mean, it was a problem before for a while, but now it's like all the time. We've been talking about that this morning. Does that cause issues for you guys in any particular way, or because you have, you know, officers out at the beach, it's not really that much of a problem for law enforcement?
Well, I mean, it can be. Certainly when we need help, you know, if there needs to be a backup, then it's a little more difficult to get there. But we have four-wheelers on the beach for that reason, so that our deputies can get in and out of the main beach area pretty quickly. We obviously have lights. We can try to go to the side, but again, it's good luck. There's not much you can – not many areas you can really go. Yeah, I wouldn't say that it causes us a huge problem. It's frustration for the people that are there in line, and we have some extra calls because people are out there in the sun, and they run out of gas, or they stole their cars, they're frustrated, and they get in fights with someone else.
They're dehydrated, they're drinking, they're ornery sometimes.
It can be problematic, there's no doubt, for gridlock. I just, again, it's always been this way, as you mentioned, but I think that as I understand it, there may be record breaking cars going through the toll plaza
and other days of the week.
You don't have to stop anymore.
You're right.
And pay.
Yeah,
you
know, drive
at least
right
they
through.
They can go on through, but there's nowhere to go on through.
You don't have to stop until you get to the parking lot.
Then you have to circle parking lot, try to find a place to park. You know, we're acting like that's a bad thing.
Right.
There are communities and beaches and throughout the world that would love to have the issue that we have. I mean, if we had a bigger beach, maybe we can renourish a couple more miles and we'll...
You heard it here first. Sheriff Simmons is for expanding Pensacola Beach. All right, I like it. He could be the county administrator. Call back.
Well, okay. You know, the downtown Pensacola wasn't always as big as
right.
it is now.
Yeah,
they just
right.
unfilled.
Had to build it. Okay. I wanted to ask you about Campus Guardians. Governor DeSantis signed the bill, Michelle Salzman and Don Gates' bill, last Friday, that allows schools to opt in to have guardians on their campuses. That would be UWF and PSC, and as you reminded me before the show, PCC. I don't know why we always want to forget PCC. 5,000 people go there. I mean, like, it's its own city, right? And, you know, but we forget. So from your perspective, first of all, have you had any conversations about this internally, externally? You know, it just happened. Nobody's opted in yet. But anything you guys are doing yet to prepare for the possibility?
We had a conversation yesterday because we knew, obviously, it was coming. It's not a surprise. We knew that the governor was going to, or we felt like the governor was going to sign the bill.
Sure.
And here's our stance. We will certainly train you. But we now the new law says they can opt in, but they have to pay for it. So that if they fund the deputies, you know, extra duty type of pay, and then the ammunition and all that sort of stuff, there's a grant for the school districts to not have to pay for it. And we certainly do that for our local school districts. School district.
So the school district, just to clarify, they don't pay for the training of the guardians. There's a grant for that. But the school district does pay the deputies and the guardians who are stationed at schools. That's not something that comes out of your budget.
They're actually employees of the school district.
Right.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So we, the sheriff's offices throughout the state of Florida, are tasked with training the guardians. And it's a lot. It's 144 total hours, a lot of shooting, some background checks, a lot of training on the law. And we're certainly wanting to partner with not just the school district, but now the colleges, if they want to opt in. They just have to pay for it, but we will make it work if they want to get involved in it.
How different do you think the training will be for these guardians? Because these will be concealed carry. They're not going to wear yellow shirts and black pants. They're going to be concealed carry. It'll be professors, theoretically, staff, you know, who want to carry on campus. Have you guys thought at all about how that might or not might not be different for those folks?
Well, I think a lot of the training is going to be the same.
Okay.
I mean, there's still, we work on state statute and we work on firearm proficiency. That's a lot of what we go over. And then we'll obviously talk about, because it is concealed, I would imagine, again, we haven't discussed this yet.
Yep.
But I imagine we'll talk a little bit more about, as we talk a lot about, just because you can carry doesn't mean you should if you're not proficient, if you don't know what you're doing, or if you every time you try to get the gun in and out of your pants, you drop it.
Yeah.
Or you mistakenly fire a round off. Those are things that we're going to make sure that they're as proficient as the training will allow.
Yeah, and I assume you're supportive of this. You think this is a good thing, and you're obviously required but willing to help if any of these schools. And I'm assuming that at least two of them and possibly three of them will opt in. So
yeah, I'm always a fan of the good guy with a gun.
Yeah. Wanted to also ask you, just because we're kind of in that time zone, you were mentioning graduation and we were talking about college campuses. This is now the transition from being school resource officers to summer duty.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do? What do the SROs do when they're not working at schools in the summer?
Well, I just got the list again yesterday. It's funny you asked that question about where they're going to be assigned. Our SROs are assigned to assist patrol. So some of them have mandatory training. They get all that covered in the summertime. Some of them work. There are some summer schools, they still work throughout there. But a lot of them are they plug in where they're needed. Whether it's the graduation, maybe it's Pensacola Beach, maybe it's there's a need for some deputies to take off for other training, so they plug those gaps. It's pretty flexible with that. It kind of gets them the chance to get out there and work a call again,
mm-hmm.
not just on a school campus.
They probably, they love what they do, but they probably love that too, right?
It's that change of scenery.
Yeah.
You do something a little different. Like if you went over across the hallway and you did some country music DJing.
Why would you threaten me like that?
I'm not.
Are you angry at me?
DJ
you don't like
all.
Me much? I don't know why you'd make me do that. That's a very unpleasant thing for you to suggest. I love my friends across the hall, and I'm glad they do it. Very, very, very,
just
very
so we're
glad
clear, I like people.
They do it.
I just don't want to be near them.
movie night coming up Friday?
Movie night. Friday night, 6 o'clock. We're going to – I can't remember the movie. We're on something about a snail or something. I can't remember now. Turbo, maybe. I don't know.
Turbo,
what it's
okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
It's going to be at J Street Apartments right there, Morris Sanchez Court area, right there at the border, city and county border.
Okay.
We're going to have all of our staff out there, hamburgers, hot dogs, and a movie. The weather so far looks like it's going to be decent. We're going to have that, again, our movie night with a screen purchased by the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation.
Nice. I think about you when I see the white Tahoes driving around. I do. I'm like, there's another one. This your initiative to save money and expedite getting vehicles out in the fleet. How many of those do you have? Like, what percentage of the fleet is converted now?
We've probably been doing it for about, probably 3 years now. So we get about
Has
40,
it been that
50
long?
Cars a piece. Yeah, about 100 okay. cars are out there.
How many do you have?
Oh, cars?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a lot.
400, 500?
We have about 450 total cars.
Okay.
We have 450 sworn. So
yeah.
Each one of those have a car. Not all in marked cars.
Right.
But they all drive a police car of some
the
sort.
The city of Pensacola recently has started acquiring sedans instead mm-hmm. of their Tahoes. But you guys, I know that you have some for like command staff, not patrol. But is there an appeal, a value, a cost savings in that?
Well, all of our investigators drive sedans. We don't all drive the Tahoes unless they're older ones from patrol. We just happen to think that and this is philosophical.
Yeah,
I happen to think that the Tahoe is has enough space in it for the equipment that we have, the cameras and the computers. It has enough for the cage in the back for the bad guys, and also some room back there for long rifles and some different things that we have. And it's also it's a larger vehicle, so it is safer for the deputies. We're pitting a lot of cars. We're doing a lot of good work out there, and it's philosophical. I think that they look good. Right?
There's a presence issue.
They're,
hey,
they're certainly functional. You can see them. You can notice them. I think Escambia County deserves the best, and I think Escambia County Sheriff's Office deserves the best. And I think that's to me, that's the standard throughout the country.
All right, very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, a pleasure. Thanks for what you do, keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. John Pickens, it's not time for traffic yet. That'd be too early. Should we take a break? I don't know. What do you want to do here? No.
Come back.
Sheriff's like, you cut me off for no reason. No. I'm just terrible at time management. I always have been, and just ask my wife. Anyway, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home,
ask my wife.
Oh, she would 100% agree. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are very, very good at this. They sold 209 homes last year. The year before that was 165. The year before that was 175. And before that, it was over 200 before because the market changed, right? And, you know, the prices surged and the interest rates surged and reluctance about the economy, you know, people not so excited. So they've really had to learn how to adapt to that. And they have. Again, the whole market is kind of still struggling. They've managed to go up 30% last year to go from 165 to 209 homes sold, which is pretty impressive. What does that mean? Experience for you, knowledge, local economy, what people want. Not what they want in general, what they want at $500,000 in Gulf Breeze. You know, like that kind of specific knowledge of how to sell your home, how to stage it, how to market it, how to list the price. You know, sometimes getting the price right is a big part of whether that home sells quickly or not at all. So they know how to make this happen. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but 98 westbound coming into Gulf Breeze, experiencing about a seven-minute delay. And I-10 westbound, as you approach the Nine Mile exit, traffic is backed up all the way past Pine Forest through that construction zone. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid. Love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance partners with local and state stakeholders to compete for companies that are considering Escambia County, the city of Pensacola, and the town of Century. These jobs, wages, and investment deliver real returns for our residents. These outcomes strengthen Escambia County's economy and protect taxpayer interests through disciplined, results-driven economic development. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband, Ryan, died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term.
Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Tune in Thursday at 10 as Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports' focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in Thursday at 10 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing the upcoming events that are on the calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Hello, Peter. What's happening?
We have sort of a problem here.
Good morning, 7:58 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Love the Office Space quote, Andrew.
You bet.
Got a case of the Mondays. Russia hit on a Tuesday, no less.
Let's work on those TPS report memo cover pages, please.
Well, Russia has now started large-scale drills involving its nuclear forces, including practice launches of ballistic and cruise missiles. Russia says the exercises involve tens of thousands of troops, submarines, warships, and aircraft. And they are focused on preparing nuclear forces during a threat of aggression. Of course, those drills are coming as Ukraine has stepped up drone attacks inside of Russia.
All right, very good. Hey, David. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and come in on Saturday. No response? Nothing. All right, fair enough.
You're listening to...